John, chapter 1. I've been looking at Christian life as it's illustrated in this book. We've seen from verses 1 and 2 that Christian life should be a relationship with the Lord. We see from verse 3 that it ought to be a fellowship with the Lord and then with God's people. Last week we began looking at verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full," or that your delight, pleasure, jubilation might be full. So we see that the Christian life ought to be a life of joy. But it's not just any kind of joy. We see that this is a fullness of joy. As God's people, we have the opportunity, we have the privilege of experiencing fullness of joy. Now, we all know that joy, of course, and as long as we're in these bodies, as long as we're in this life, can be interrupted. But that being said, this is a joy that can be had, as we've already seen, in times of persecution, in times of calamities, in times of tribulation. Now, all joy must have a source. That is, all joy must have a because. It must have a reason. That's true whether it be carnal joy or spiritual joy. There has to be a source of our joy. Now, calamities or trials or difficulties or temptations are not a source of joy. But in those times, the child of God still has a source of joy. So it all depends on where we go for our joy. Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, and again, this is by way of review, we're not going to turn there, but remember he told the 70 not to rejoice over the fact that the demons were subject to them and all these great, wonderful things were happening. He said, "In this rejoice not." But he told them to rejoice because, again, joy must have a source, because their names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was the source. The source is eternal things. So this joy that we're talking about is the joy that the Holy Spirit gives in Galatians 5, verse 22. It is a joy that is God-given. Only God can give this joy. This is not a joy that you can work up. This isn't a joy that you can just determine, I'm going to be happy. It doesn't work that way. This is a joy that God must give. And again, we've already said that joy must have a source, and this joy, the source is in God. Notice in Psalm 89, verse 16. "In thy name," again, the name of God represents all that God is, represents all the attributes of God. "In thy name shall they rejoice all the day." Now, there's much in our lives. There's much in a day. There's much in the world that will zap joy, will rob us of joy. There are a lot of things that we cannot be happy about. But we can always rejoice in God. And that's why it's important to always look to God, because He is a source of joy. We can rejoice in God. There's nothing discouraging about God. Nothing. Nothing at all. So in thy name, God's people can rejoice. Notice also in Psalm 149. Psalm 149, verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Again, it's rejoicing in God. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. In their king. That's the source. That's our source of joy. Our source of joy is God. Now, you're going to have a hard time rejoicing in God if he's not your king, if he's not your master. And that's why people today will say things like, oh, I tried what you say, and I've got my eyes on God, but it didn't work. Well, it's because he's not your master. You can rejoice in God as your king. There's something to rejoice in. In Romans chapter 5, and verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God. Now we can only do this through our Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the only way we can approach God, by whom we now have received the atonement. So this is a joy that is in God. It is a joy that is in Christ. We see that Mary rejoiced in her Savior. It is a joy in Christ. We see in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 that this is a joy in Christ. It is also a joy in the Holy Spirit. Not only does the Holy Spirit give this joy, not only does the Holy Spirit produce this joy, but there is a rejoicing in the person of the Holy Spirit. Notice in Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink or material things, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God, the spiritual realm, everything is in the Holy Spirit. And that's true of our joy as well. The truth is simple. In order to experience this fullness of joy and not just have our happiness based on circumstances, we have to be spiritual. We have to have the Holy Spirit in us. We have to have some spirituality about us. And again, this isn't a joy that takes away all the griefs and just makes everything better. It's like a refuge when you're in the midst of the calamity. The child of God still has a source of joy. No lost person can say that. They do not. Their source of joy is right now. Their source of joy is everything that's happening around them. But you and I, we have a source that is independent of everything that happens around us. And this is why we're instructed to keep our eyes upon the Lord. This is a joy that gives us many things. Notice in Romans chapter 5, it is a joy in the assurances that faith gives. Again, it's hard to rejoice in God if your faith is weak. God has to be real. Faith has to be strong. You have to believe what you read in the Scriptures. Romans 5, verse 2, it says, by whom also, that is Jesus Christ, that is, the also is an addition to having peace with God, by whom also we have access or entrance by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, that is in grace, that is in Christ Jesus. Not only do we stand in this grace, but we rejoice in hope And again, hope in the Word of God is not, well, I sure hope this happens and I hope this doesn't happen. It's not a wish. Hope in the Word of God is more of an assurance. It's more of a certainty, knowing. And in this case, the certainty is the glory of God or heaven. So we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There are times when you can look around you and there's nothing to rejoice in on this earth. I mean nothing. There's nothing there. But we haven't lost our source of joy. We see we can get our eyes on heaven, and if we're certain of heaven, then we can rejoice in that. So this is a joy that is possible for every child of God. It is a joy that will lead us. In Hebrews 10, verse 34, we read of those individuals who took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. They lost everything. And yet it says they took joyfully. How did they do that? Well, notice, let's turn there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. I mean, were they glad that their goods were stolen? Would they have rather have kept their goods? I'm sure they would have. I'm sure if you would give them the choice, they would have rather kept their goods. But in Hebrews 10, verse 34, they took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, and then notice, knowing. There's the key. Knowing. That's that hope. That's that assurance. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So joy has a source. If you're lost, your source of joy is limited entirely to this life. If you're saved, you have a different source of joy. And that's why Paul said, yet sorrowing, yet rejoicing. Because we still have that source of joy. Now, this joy is different than any joy that we find in the world, than any carnal joy. It's called the joy of the Lord in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. It is the joy of the Lord. Now, there's a big difference today between the joy of the Lord and joy because something good, what we perceive to be good, has happened. The joy of the Lord. What is the joy of the Lord? Well, it's something that only a child of God can have. No one else can have this joy. I never had the joy of the Lord. When I was lost, wasn't capable of having it, didn't have the resources to have that joy. I believe the joy of the Lord is the very joy of Christ. Now, when I talk about the joy of Christ, and I say we can have the joy of Christ, and I believe we can, I'm not talking about in degree. You can't have the same degree of joy that Christ has. Not as long as you're in this life. But we can have the same kind of joy that Christ had. Notice in John chapter 15, Jesus is doing the speaking. In John 15, in verse 11, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you." So we have Christ's words. Christ's words. Again, joy has to have a source. He says, "These words have I spoken unto you, that, in order, for this reason, that my joy," my kind of joy, think about that, the very joy of Christ, "that my joy might remain in you." And for the child of God, it can remain But we have to go to the right source. And that your joy, now see, there's a difference. My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We can't have the fullness of Christ's joy. We can have a fullness of joy as a result of the kind of joy that Christ had. So he does put a difference here between my joy, your joy. But our joy can be full. But the source, of course, is Christ. And then notice in John 17 and verse 13. This is Jesus praying. And he says, "Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy." Talking about the sheep, talking about the elect of God. "That they might have my joy." No lost person can have the joy of Christ. "But that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So we see from 1 John 1 and verse 4 that we, as children of God, can possess a joy. No matter what happens, we have a source of joy. Now, anytime we speak on this subject, someone always misunderstands, and they always think that someone always comes up with the idea that we are minimizing the sorrow or the grief or whatever it is in their life, that we're minimizing that. Not at all. What we're saying is there is a source where you can find joy that is always so for the child of God. If you do not have that, it is because you do not go to the right source. There is a source of joy for the child of God. So, what is this joy? Well, we've seen it's the same kind of joy that Christ had. Again, not to the same degree, but of the same kind. It's inward. First of all, it's inward. Does it display itself outwardly? Certainly. But it's inward. That's where it begins. It is an inward calm. It's an inward calm. You see, it's hard for sheep to be happy if there's not calm. Joy and calm go together. And this is an inward calm. It's an inward calm as Christ had. Now, can the child of God, when everything has been shaken and everything is in an uproar, can the child of God have an inward calm? Yes. But only in Christ. So it is an inward calm. It is the inward calm and satisfaction of Christ. Does that mean that we are satisfied with circumstances? Of course not. But it means that we have a satisfaction. It means that we have a contentment that we have found in Christ. And nothing can disturb that. That's that joy. That's that inward joy abiding in us. So it is the joy of Christ, or the joy that Christ had. Then notice in Psalm 51 and verse 12. David, this of course is David's repentance, this 51st Psalm, but in verse 12, and this is toward the end of his prayer. This is toward the end of his prayer. That's significant. There's some things that have to take place before you get to verse 12. But he says here, "Restore unto me," which tells me that joy has been lost. Doesn't have to be that way. "Restore unto me the joy of," and notice it doesn't say mine, but "thy." God's sovereign, God's the dispenser of salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So it is a joy in salvation. The next time that you feel down, and just try to think about some of the blessings of salvation. Will that take away all your sorrow? No. But will it give you some joy? Yes. Yes, it will. Will make all your problems go away? No. But you will find a source of joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, implying that we can't do what's about to be said until verse 12 takes place, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted or turned unto thee. So this joy of the Lord, this joy of Christ, this joy that God's salvation produces, what's it like? Well, it's a exceeding joy. That is, it's a joy. You can try to explain this joy to a lost person, and they're going to look at you with a blank stare. They do not understand it, because they don't have it, because they've never experienced it. But this is a joy that is exceeding. That is, it's able to go beyond any other joy, any other satisfaction. Notice in Psalm 21 and verse 6, thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. When you can see the face of God and you're in fellowship with God, again, Peter saw the face of God and he went away grieved. But I'm talking about seeing the face of God and being in fellowship with God. There's an exceeding gladness when you can see the Lord. So this joy is dependent upon seeing, and it's exceeding, which means it's dependent upon, by seeing we mean by faith. In Psalm 43 and verse 4, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Unto God my exceeding joy. That's our source, is God. God doesn't change. Circumstances change. Our bodies change. Our health changes. Things change. And if your joy is entirely in things of this world, you're up and down like a yo-yo all the time. But if our joy, if we have that source of God, we always have that source of joy, because He doesn't change. It's unchangeable. So there is an exceeding joy in God, a joy that excels all others. It is a joy that's abundant. It's abundant. That means there's plenty of it. It's Christ's joy. His riches are unsearchable. If it's Christ, there has to be plenty of it. And it's abundant. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll read verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, so you have affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So here's talking about the churches of Macedonia. They were going through a time of trial of afflictions, but there was the abundance of their joy. There was the abundance of their joy. We don't know what their affliction was, but that really doesn't matter. What matters is that there was an abundance of joy. Again, this isn't a joy that you find anywhere else. It is a joy that is unspeakable, which simply means it cannot be fully described. It cannot be fully described. Try describing to someone when everything has fallen apart and you say, it's going to be all right because of God. Because of God. It's unspeakable. You can't put it in words. It's an unspeakable joy. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 8, it's not only unspeakable, but we read in this verse that it's full of glory. That is, it's something, and the word glory in the Bible speaks of a weight. It's something that we feel. When you're in the presence of the glory of God, it's something, it's like a weight. It's something that you can feel. And so it is with this joy. Notice in 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing. And you see, the world's philosophy is, seeing is believing. But that's not scriptural. That is not scriptural. Believing is seeing. That's scriptural. There are many times that we may not be able to see, but if we can fall under this category, yet believing, that changes everything. Yet believing, ye rejoice. Then notice, with joy unspeakable, that is, cannot be defined or fully expressed, and full of glory, that is, it is a joy that can be felt. This joy is to be constant. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, and we'll close. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice. Notice it does not say rejoice always. Obviously we are to do that. But the Lord is telling us, Paul is telling us much more here. He's giving us our source where we can always rejoice. And there's only one source where you can always rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. In the Lord is the key. That's our source. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. So, this joy is to be constant. That's our responsibility. Now, we all know that it can be interrupted by a lot of things. It can be interrupted by our own sin. It can be interrupted by our own shortcomings. But whenever our joy is interrupted, we always have a source as a child of God. We always have a source where we can find some joy. We always have a source where we can find some strength. As a child of God, we always have that. Now, whether we draw from that, that's between us and the Lord. But the source is always there. It's always there. So again, it's our privilege, it's our opportunity to have a life of joy. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation.